There is a fundamental gap in crypto regulation.
The crypto industry likes to claim that because it's crypto, everything is different and laws don't apply. This keeps being proven false literally every time it's tested.
I'm Polly Botsford. Welcome to this IBA podcast. 2022 was a tumultuous year for cryptocurrency. FTX, once one of the world's largest crypto exchanges, collapsed, filing for bankruptcy in November. So, does the industry need greater regulation or more enforcement of regulations? If we need new regulations, who should do the regulating and how? Can the authorities even keep up with that level of enforcement? Helping to make sense of the issues for us are financial journalist and crypto skeptic David Gerrard. Then, from inside the industry, I have head of legal at 21 Shares, Andrew Jacobson, and fintech legal expert at Duke Law, Lee Reiners. I'm joined by David Gerrard, a cryptocurrency journalist and author of two lively books, Attack of the 50-Foot Blockchain and Libra Shrugged, How Facebook Tried to Take Over the Money. With his blog, he's a respected critic and commentator on crypto. David, thank you for joining the IBA's cryptocurrency podcast.
Good afternoon.
So, is this the moment when the regulators are finally going to get their teeth into Bitcoin?
So it appears they are. The SEC just brought charges against another couple of companies. So that's great. So the SEC's problem is they're the securities regulator. Almost all the crypto tokens are securities under US law and theoretically under the SEC's purview. But there's like 7,000 equity stocks and over a million little crypto tokens on the various blockchains. They can't deal with that.
But as I understand it, there is quite a lot of regulation already around cryptocurrency. It's just that it's perhaps not regulation that patches everything together like we have in the EU with the directive. But there's still regulation there.
The crypto industry likes to claim that because it's crypto, everything is different and the laws don't apply. This keeps being proven false literally every time it's tested. So they make a lot of noise and they say this so much that people think, oh, well, that sounds good. But it's absolutely false. It's just marketing. Every time the SEC comes after one of these tokens, they win. It's because these laws apply. The laws are clear.
Isn't this just another disruptor? They want to do things differently. They want to liberate a system that was very closed and perhaps a little elitist and too expensive for most people. And they were trying to democratize investments.
Bitcoin was founded by very sincere extreme libertarians. I want to stress they were sincere people. They wanted a thing that's not wrong to want. You know, you don't want the government in your face. You know better than them about your personal life. But, you know, money is a social function and people expect it to behave in certain ways. So you're going to have regulation. But they thought zero regulation was good. So they wanted money that governments couldn't touch. Unfortunately, the other people who want money outside government purview is crooks. So the crooks flocked to Bitcoin. And this is sort of unfortunate. So this is why it's saturated with scams. Even people who are full-on good crypto, sincere fans and so on, they'll tell you, yeah, it's full of crooks. The SEC does not actually possess a giant Monty Python foot that can come from the sky and squash these guys. They have to generate these handcrafted artisanal orders and complaints and so on in full legal detail, and it doesn't scale. So to some extent, they've spammed the regulators to the point where they can't keep up. But on the other hand, laws do in fact apply.
Thanks to David there for giving us his take on crypto regulation. I'd like to turn to Andrew Jacobson, head of legal at 21 Shares. In his own words, the world's largest issuer of crypto exchange traded products and on a mission to build bridges into the crypto world. Andrew, thank you for joining the IBA's cryptocurrency podcast.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
So let's start with that image, 2022, collapse of FTX, the hearings that are live right now, picking over the scarce, you know, the sort of disasters and the wreckage of 2022. Isn't this an industry that needs greater regulation and enforcement of those regulations?
It's a great point. I think that there's a common misconception that the cryptocurrency industry is not regulated. In fact, the industry is regulated. And so, you know, if you look at the United States, it's a patchwork of regulations. You have the SEC, you've got state money transmitter laws, you've got banking regulations, you've got the BitLicense in New York. And so, you know, to your point, the question is not, do we need or not need regulation? I think the better question is the regulation we already have proportional to the risks presented? And if not, what else do we need to get us there?
Who does that? Who's going to make that happen?
Really, it comes down to regulators, legislatures and governments, really, who are going to pass, you know, unified and clear legislation. I think the biggest takeaway from 2022 for me are really two things. The first being that I view 2022 as a failure of human beings, not of underlying blockchain technology or even the asset class of crypto. And secondly, I view 2022 as being a failure of clear regulations, meaning there's a great deal of uncertainty in the crypto industry of what you're required to comply with and what regulatory expectations are.
So when we talk about who's going to lead on that regulation then, though, I suppose I do sort of feel it's unlikely to come from Congress.
I think it's more likely that we'll see patchwork of legislation, maybe stablecoin legislation would come out, or maybe, certain states in the U.S. issue new regulatory frameworks for crypto, much like New York State did. California had a proposal that was sent that, you know, that's being considered now. So, who will lead on this? My hope is the U.S. would lead, but quite frankly, that's not really what we're seeing. I think really Europe is leading right now.
So that European model, MiCA, what do you sort of like about it? Is it the sort of uniformity?
I think it's predictability. I think it's clarity. I think folks in the industry, especially legitimate players, those that are here for the right reasons, just want to know what rules do we have to comply with? How do we comply? And then let us move on and do our business.
We've got blockchain and we've got crypto, but now we've sort of slightly lost sight of what else blockchain might offer. So if you sort of look at the underlying technology, do you sort of see that it might still take off and sort of develop in other ways?
Absolutely. To me, the great potential of blockchain technology is in a few areas. I think one, in its ability to store evidence and ability to store history and documentation and have a record that's really immutable. And then I think in its ability to incentivize behavior through a decentralized network. That's really incredible.
Thanks to Andrew there for the insider's take on crypto regulation.
I'm now joined by Lee Reiners, FinTech legal expert. He is policy director at the Duke Financial Economics Center and a lecturing fellow at Duke Law in North Carolina. Welcome, Lee.
Thanks for having me.
So what will happen in 2023?
I think the status quo is probably going to prevail in the U.S. for better or worse, just as it has, in crypto regulation for the past 10 plus years. Now, that doesn't mean that folks on both sides of the political aisle, don't recognize that there needs to be some type of regulation, but the devil's always in the details. And so, when we look at the situation in the U.S., there is a fundamental gap in crypto regulation. And so the debate that's been, had for, 10 plus years is, when you look at any given token, is it a security or is it a commodity? And in the U.S., commodity spot markets or cash markets aren't regulated at the federal level. Now, commodity derivatives are regulated by an agency known as the Commodity Futures Trading Commission, CFTC. And then, of course, I think most listeners are familiar with the fact that the Securities and Exchange Commission oversees securities. And so, so we have these, sort of endless debates, but there's disagreements even, at the head of these agencies, right? The top of the CFTC and the top of the SEC. So there is, unanimity that Bitcoin is probably a commodity because there's no central entity or group of people that are behind sort of Bitcoin's operations. But, there are fundamental disagreements when it comes to the second most popular cryptocurrency, Ether. Well, when we look at cryptocurrency exchanges operating in the U.S., they're not regulated at the federal level. And, that leads to all sorts of, real and potential, consumer harms. And no one would suggest it's a good idea for the New York Stock Exchange or the NASDAQ to be unregulated. Yet that's exactly the situation we have with these cryptocurrency platforms. And so the one area where I do think there's a good chance we'll see some progress and maybe even a bill is on stablecoin regulation. So, Patrick McHenry, he's the new chair of the House Financial Services Committee. He's made stablecoin regulation his priority.
You say there are legal gray areas. I mean, David told us earlier that he didn't think so and that actually, we just need to get on and enforce the rules that we have. Yeah. He takes the side, obviously, of securities.
Well, I tend to agree with David, but we have to, you know, acknowledge the fact that, you know, the law as it's written has created some of these gray areas, as I just alluded to. You know, what is a commodity? What is a security? The SEC chair, Gary Gensler, has said that most cryptocurrencies resemble securities, and that most cryptocurrency platforms operating in the U.S. are offering unregistered securities and thereby are operating as an illegal or an unregistered securities exchange. And so, you know, that's been his rhetoric for the better part of a year, and that runway is now run out. Right. He's been warning the industry, come in, get registered. So that grace period is over. And now we need to see aggressive enforcement action. So to back up David's point, I mean, I do think the SEC needs to be more active and aggressive. But, you know, their legal authority is not entirely clear. And, you know, this is going to get litigated, and litigation takes time. Up until now, they've really been going after the low hanging fruit. Right. I mean, folks might recall the ICO, the initial coin offering craze in the 2017s. You know, very obvious that those are all unregistered securities, you know, but now we're getting into some more thorny issues. I get the impulse to say, you know, the SEC and other regulators just, you know, need to enforce existing laws, but we're talking about litigation here.
So it feels to me like, in summary, that we're going to be watching a lot of SEC litigation, watching but not getting it much from the US Congress. And we may well be having another conversation in a year's time about who's going to take the lead on this.
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I think that's right. Now, you know, the thing about a regulation that's worth pointing out is that it's not this magical fairy dust that you can just sprinkle on something and all of a sudden it has value or it's useful. And I think that kind of is sort of implicit in a lot of these conversations around regulation. You know, even within people in the, you know, in the crypto industry, said, well, we need sensible regulation. Well, you know, sensible regulation isn't going to just, you know, usher in this wave of new investors in crypto, right? I mean, so ultimately, the industry itself is going to have to clean up its act if people are going to have any trust